And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Reality television is, well, it's what TV is today. It's really what networks are looking for in terms of a show they can put on the air for as little cost as possible and make as much money as they can, because the production cost on reality TV shows is very, very minimal. Eric Hester is a television producer with a new reality TV show that he is hoping will be on the air this fall. And Mr. Hester, thanks for joining us.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Phil.
And tell me about this show called Surprise, because the way you're promoting this, you're throwing out the rule book on reality television. You're going to take it someplace it's never gone before.
Well, we hope to, yes. The show is called Surprise, and this show is really like no other show in history. Most reality television is very shallow and very cookie-cutter. My partner, Cal Coltrane, and I decided that what we wanted was a reality TV show that would go somewhere deeper than just the usual fare that we see, which is a bit more like a freak show, really, bug eating and marriages between dwarves and this sort of thing. And with Surprise, we think we've done that.
Now, this show is airing this fall on NBC?
We're shooting for that, yes.
Well, I know that what you mean about the cookie cutter thing, that the way things look on TV, especially reality shows.
But we believe in reality TV. Please don't get me wrong. We just think it can be much more. Surprise gathers together siblings, and that is brothers and sisters from any given family. And we want the kids to generally be anywhere from the age of 8 to 10 years of age. And we gather the kids in a variety of settings. It could be their home, it can be at school, it can be at a fast food restaurant. Now the kids are together, and we have an actor dressed as a police officer, or in some cases a minister, or in some cases a man in a suit or a doctor's smock. And this person sits down with the kids, and here's where I think reality television can really be something special and do a service, as opposed to having people conduct themselves in this freak show manner, picking the bachelorette, this kind of thing. We think we're better than that, and we're better as people than that, I think. What we do is we have that person sit down with the kids and tell them, kids, I am very sorry to have to tell you, but your mother and father have just been killed in a car crash. Now, what we do is we pull the camera in close, right up into the faces of these children who, for the very first time in their lives, are experiencing death. Now, that is reality TV. I don't even call it reality TV. I call it truth TV, and I call it life TV.
And are the kids' parents really dead?
No. The parents are alive and well and are watching from a remote van. And then at some point, of course, we do tell the kids, you know what, we were just joking around, but maybe now you'll appreciate your parents a little bit more. And as far as our host goes, we're hoping to get Drew Carey, or we would agree to somebody who's a very funny man. Drew Carey is good. Ray Romano. Who can tell the kids that their parents are dead, because it will soften it a little bit, because we're concerned about how the kids will react, and he might have a joke, and then when the parents show themselves, we would have a little bit of a song, things like this. These people are funny, the Jay Lenos and so on, and if we can get them...
All right, hold on. You have them break the news, and then the children react, and at some point... You tell them that you're kidding.
And then we say, we're only kidding. Your parents are not dead. Now, here they are, and now the moral is, of course, appreciate your parents. See, looking at reality shows, you get embarrassed by how low they stoop, how low they can go, and we're trying to elevate the reality genre.
What do you consider the worst of the reality shows?
I think all of them. The Littlest Bachelor was exploitation. I think Fear Factor is not reality TV. No, nobody eats bugs or jumps from a moving truck. That's not reality television. I talked with the head of NBC's entertainment division, a guy by the name of Mo Zucker, and I told him we need to take it to another level. Surprise will show 8 to 10-year-old children who have just been told their parents are dead. Now, this, Phil, is a moment in time that we capture, and then we go through the grieving with them.
What if the kids become panicked? What if they become upset?
If we need to have, we have cell phones on the set, we can call 911 if need. The cameras have an opportunity to catch that, though. In fact, the pilot that we shot and have shown two networks that are probably going to be bidding for it, one of the children becomes physically sick, she vomits, and we debated, should we cut that out? And my partner, who's one of the smartest TV guys, Kyle Coltrane, said, no, it's reality, and that is reality television.
Okay, Eric Hester joins me. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The new show is called Surprise, where children are told that their parents have been killed in an automobile accident, and then they get the close-ups on them, and he's hoping to get a host like Ray Romano or something. Why get a comic to deliver news like this?
Because, again, the audience will be in on it. It softens it for the audience, and I think that maybe the kids will take the news better if they're hearing. If I was small and I had a wonderful entertainer such as Whoopi Goldberg or someone like that say to me that your parents have been killed in an automobile accident, I might be able to deal with it better if I was hearing it.
If you were hearing it from Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, not necessarily, but again, we're trying to get the camera in tight on these situations.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number. I don't know how many of you guys watch reality television. I do agree with you that it's pretty much worked all of the angles, and when you say, you made a very interesting point, eating bugs and jumping off of moving vans is not reality because few of us actually do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And why? And how many of us have the opportunity to be wined and dined by a handsome bachelor or a beautiful bachelorette? No, this is reality, Phil. This is the reality of a child being told that their parents, mommy and daddy, are not going to come back. And then getting that reaction. I don't think there's anything more primal in life, Phil, than the separation of a child from a parent. I don't know if you saw the film E.T. I think E.T. dealt with it very beautifully, the separation from the home planet by the creature. And, of course, there was the wonderful artificial intelligence that Steven Spielberg, again, you're dealing with the separation of a robot boy from his flesh-and-blood mother. What we want to do is elevate the genre and make reality television something we can all be very proud of. And, again, I think it's going to be a great thing.
All right, now, I got to ask you here. Children, even though you tell the kids you're only kidding, to hear that mommy and daddy have been killed in an automobile accident, at what point do you tell the kids that this is just a joke?
Well, we go through the entire grieving. We make burial arrangements, and
you're going through days.
Well, it's a couple-of-day process where you go through the entire process of mommy and daddy have to be buried, this kind of thing. But then eventually, just as I want you to understand that this is intended as a way to really make the child understand that it's all been in fun, okay? Because we have a viewing where the people are laying in their caskets, and then they sit up. And they say, mommy's not dead, daddy's not dead.
And how did the kids take it?
Well, I told one of the kids vomited, but the other kids, I think, were relatively all right with it. Again, where do we go for reality, Phil?
So these are 8 to 10-year-old children who are told their parents are dead. Then you go through the burial arrangements. Then they go in for the viewing of the bodies, and they sit up in the casket and say, almost like, hey, you're on candid camera?
No, it's not known. It's not candid camera. It is a surprise, and then Ray Romano or Drew Carey or whoever we hire comes in, and we do a song. And this is a way, I think, of showing both the horror and the relief, the release from horror. My partner Kyle put it in a way, have you ever had to really just go, to the bathroom? There's the horror of not being able to, and then there's the release. It's the same thing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Marcy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling from San Diego to tell you that I think that this is an appalling idea. If your guest would have been working in the school system during 9/11 and seen the horror in these children's faces at the sight of death, the hearing of what happened. My son was a friend of the girl whose father was killed in Iraq. He was a civil contractor. He came home petrified because my husband travels for a living.
Right.
This
there's,
is not
there's
funny.
There's one point that you're leaving out, Marcy, that we include in our program. What if you were able to come to those children a half hour later and say, you know what, we're just kidding?
I don't think that would have been funny at all.
Well, you don't think.
And I
don't think
death is nothing to joke about.
Well, of course it is. We're all going to die. It's a part of life. It is the
process. It is a part of life, but there's no need to traumatize these children this young at age. You should prepare them in a way that they can accept it, not go, oh, only kidding.
Do you think that there is a risk of trauma here, you know, Mr. Hester, or is there, like you say, if the telling the kids that they're only kidding?
Look, what we're looking to do, Phil, and what I'm trying to tell your listeners, reality television, the kind that this lady or other people may watch, is a joke. It's not reality at all. We need reality.
I agree with you. Reality television is a joke.
And,
it is not
entertaining. This is going to be great.
And neither is your show going to be entertaining, and
anyone with any sense
will not watch your show.
Well, ma'am, you haven't seen it. I think you're judging it based upon... Children were traumatized by Bozo the Clown. Were you aware of that? Whatever we're doing on Surprise is only giving the child reality.
All right, thank you very much, Marcy, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Eric Hester is my guest. The producer of a new reality show that he hopes will be airing this fall on NBC called Surprise, where kids are sat down and told their parents have been killed in an automobile accident, and then a half hour later their parents sit up in the casket and say surprise. Now, you know, even if the kids were just told, well, you know, we're just kidding, your folks are not dead, that's one thing, but to have them sit up in the coffin, and he said one of the kids threw up. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Whenever you think of someone with hair, think of me, Bob Green.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Eric Hester, the producer of a new reality show called Surprise. The show is based around young children of 8 to 10 years of age being told that their parents have just died in an automobile accident or some other kind of mishap, I imagine, only to be told later on that they're only joking. But you want to get that look of reality. You want to get that look of fear.
Absolutely, Phil. The look of reality, not the look of fear necessarily, but the real sensation of death. And the lady made a very good point. Death is nothing to joke about. But maybe it's time we tried to at least have a little bit of fun with it. Because I'll tell you a story, and the reason why I did this show...
All right, well, I want to get to some calls.
Okay, that's fine, but you'll be interested. I was in the 101st Airborne, Phil, when I was in the Army. I was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And we did a jump one day. My very best friend was leaning against a tree. My best friend in the world leaning against a tree after we'd done a jump. And they were parachuting in after the airborne troops had dropped. Then they would drop in the supplies in crates. On parachutes.
On parachutes.
Yes. And my best friend in the world, a guy by the name of Howard Duggan, was leaning against a tree, lighting a cigarette, when one of those crates dropped out of the sky, hit him smack on the head, and killed him. And I remember I laughed until I almost got sick. I thought it was that funny.
Oh, my God.
But imagine that. You're a paratrooper, and you're killed by a crate of MRIs falling out of the sky. So I remember thinking, well, that is, how can I bring that sense of humor to the...
But do you look back on the death of your best friend as a humorous thing?
Well, no, I'm sorry that he's gone, but it was so funny to see the way he died. It's, how can I bring that joyous, because it was joyous, I suppose, to see him get hit by this crate. It wasn't funny, but it left me with a smile on my face. And so I've decided to...
It left you with a smile on your face to see your best friend get hit by a parachuted crate of stuff.
Yes, not because I lost my friend, but it when I think back on the death of Howard, I got to tell you, I got to pull over because I start laughing. So how do I bring that to the TV? And that's where we came up with surprise.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dottie, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Eric Hester. Go ahead.
I'm a retired teacher, and as far as I'm concerned, this is mental child abuse. If you want to do something with adults, but if I did that as a teacher, I'd be arrested and thrown in the can. And if somebody doesn't do that to you, you're sick.
I don't know where to begin with you because you don't make very educated statements for a teacher. Number one.
I beg your pardon.
Somebody who's laughing at his buddy doesn't make
very good statements either.
Well, you had to have been there. If you were there, I guarantee, Dottie, you would have made your depends a little smelly.
Let's watch out with...
Who are these parents that are allowing this to happen? You couldn't do it in the classroom.
First of all, if you were... able to do this in the classroom, Dottie. You sound like the kind of person who might enjoy it. Secondly,
What are you doing now? You know something?
Is this
children
a surprise?
Are very tough individuals.
Is
they
this
scrape their knee.
Is this going to be a surprise?
They
to
heal.
Me?
They hear their probably everything in life is a surprise to you, Dottie. Children hear their parents.
Especially after their parents rush out to give them
a great big hug, and we surprise the family and everything like that.
Yeah, and then you're going to have kids that won't leave their mother and father's side for years.
Well, Dottie,
check with a few school psychiatrists.
I'll check with your kids. I'll check with your kids. They probably couldn't wait to get out of that.
All right, there goes Dottie. Here is Rachel. Rachel, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine.
I'm a little in shock, actually, about that last call with Dottie, so I hope I get a little respect to say a few words.
Wait a second. That lady was nothing but disrespectful to me, so she got as good as she gave.
Okay, let me just give my opinion, and then you can give your feedback if you'd like. I actually turned this on, and I'm in the car with my 11-year-old right now.
Great.
I personally am completely appalled and truly do believe that you... Okay, so I'm completely appalled, and I asked my son's opinion as an 11-year-old,
yes.
And he said that not only, and he's a very well-spoken, articulate boy,
I'm sure.
And he said not only would he not appreciate me more, but he would feel resentful towards me because he felt he wouldn't be able to trust me at that point. And I have to agree with the last caller that the psychological damage that you could possibly put upon these kids is immense. And honestly, the fact that parents would allow their children to experience something like this, I do believe that somebody in CPS or social work needs to get involved. And I'm sorry that you experienced such traumatic things in your life that you think it's funny to see your friend
die. Let me address one of these things, Rachel. First of all, your son said something to you, and we all know that children lie. Your son is going to tell you what he wants you to, you know, what you want to hear.
Do you have children?
I did.
You did?
I did, yes.
Meaning?
Well, if you'd like to hear the story, I can tell you.
Well, I don't need to hear a far-out thing.
My wife got custody of them.
Okay, so your children are still alive.
Yes, most certainly.
But you don't have custody of them, and maybe there's a particular reason for that.
Well, first of all, children lie, like your son just did to you about, oh, mommy, I'd really, you know, blah, blah, blah. Of course he doesn't mean that. Of course he'd appreciate you more. Do you like television? I bet you do, and I can guarantee you and
your son. Actually, I can't stand reality TV. I think it's obnoxious, and I think the only reason you're doing it is to try and earn a dollar, and I'm really sorry that you've lost your kids. You have an opportunity to see how wonderful it is to raise them, that you think that this would be okay for children, and it's clear that you have no right to parent a child.
Well, Rachel, that's quite a statement. I'd like to send you and your son two hats from Surprise and two T-shirts so that you guys would come on our program.
I would never submit my son to that because I actually heard about him. It's unfortunate that these parents have no...
It's interesting that you don't like the show because we've got a lot of interest from PBS. And
you've got a lot of sick people.
Well,
you have a lot of sick people.
NPR is going to have me on. And
well, what does that mean, NPR and PBS?
Obviously,
NPR wants to hear what you have to say, but that doesn't mean that they agree. You're controversial. That's why they want to hear it. It doesn't mean they agree with it.
NPR only puts on educated programming that is going to educate people. And, Rachel, you get to sit in our air-conditioned van. You can watch your son show his love to you by saying, "Oh, my God, my mother's dead."
And watch him throw up on himself? Like that one kid did?
Why on earth would I want to see that? I want to see my son experience joy. I don't need to see my son experience terror.
Well, you don't get to see that until he moves out. But I can do
All right. Rachel, thank you for your call. 1-800-449. What is that supposed to mean? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Eric Hester with the show Surprise. He tells kids their parents are dead. Then he says he's kidding.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're talking with Eric Hester. The new reality show that he's producing is called Surprise, where children are told their parents are dead in an automobile accident, only to be told later on that they were just kidding. Now, you heard mothers in that first half hour talking about how it was child abuse, how it was abusive to these kids, how it was something that should be actionable in a court of law, Mr. Hester, and yet you call this entertainment based upon the death of a friend of yours being hit in the head with a crate in a paratrooping exercise. He was an adult. These are kids.
Well, that's a very good point, Phil. But let me also point out something, that most of those women and most of the women that might call me, or most of American women that might call me and say, "Well, we don't think this is right. You should be off the air because your program is very cruel." All of those women are the very same women that will subject their children to these anti-abortion marches and will put their children through these prayer meetings and these kinds of things. No, this is the kind of thing...
Well, wait, that's the politics of the mother.
That's abuse. Absolute abuse.
How do you figure that's abuse?
Well, you're taking a young child, and you are manipulating that child for your own political purposes. And those are the very same women that would take their child out on one of these pro-life marches, okay, and then say, "Oh, but you can't do this to my child." Look, the parents, those are the very women that I'd love to have in this program, because those women... I think once they get past their initial politically correct reaction, I think are sadistic enough perhaps to even enjoy it. And so
you do agree then that parents who will let their kids on these programs are sadists?
I know. The parents that we deal with are great.
But you did say sadistic enough to enjoy it.
Those women who would take exception, who can't admit to themselves that this is something that's no worse and probably nowhere near as bad as them taking their children on these marches, you know, against breast cancer or something, which is political manipulation of their children.
All right, 1-800-449. I understand you have a piece of music from the show.
We do, Phil. We have the opening to the program.
All right, I'll hear that in a minute here. 1-800-449-8686. Jonna, hello. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Eric Hester.
Yes, I wanted to make a point. My children, 13 years ago, did lose their father. They went through this reality TV show, only it wasn't a TV show, it was real life. And I can tell you that the horror that I saw come across their faces as they received the news and then had to go through the viewing and all the things that you said were going to go on in your show,
right,
and then at the end not have their father sit up in the casket and say, "Surprise."
Well, that's why they're upset.
No, that
is
not.
If the father would have gotten up.
No, that is not why they're upset, sir. I'll tell you what, that is a trauma that will never leave them. This happened 13 years ago to those children,
yes,
and it will never leave them. And it was not to be relieved by somebody sitting up in the casket saying, "Surprise."
Well, I wish I would have had a camera there that day.
Eric.
You are
what is
sick
that?
No,
with
I,
it,
I,
and the parents that allow their children to go through that show are worse than you.
Jonna, let me
How
propose
dare
this.
You do
let,
that
me,
to those
let, me, let me propose this to you. You say 13 years these young people have had to live with the death of their father, and I understand that, but would they be feeling bad today had he popped up in the coffin and said, "Hey, let's go get some shots and beers"?
They would have felt worse.
They feel bad today.
It would have been a lie. And how dare a parent put their child through that? That is the worst thing a child can go through, to lose a parent and then make a joke of it.
No, I want to be clear. You're saying there would have been no relief for those kids had their father popped up and said, "Surprise, let's go to Disneyland. Let's get ice cream.
Oh, my God.
You're telling me there wouldn't have been any relief.
Look, I know what the lady's saying.
I called earlier who said that they would never be able to trust their parent again. And the other woman who said that those children would never leave their parents' side for years. That's a trauma those children would never get over.
I'm here
to tell you that that is not a pleasant trauma to watch. It's not entertainment.
No, it's not.
It's horror.
It's not.
Pure horror.
But the
and for
fun
you
that
to
you
capitalize
have,
on it,
the fun you
it's
have when
vulnerable.
You tell them that you're joking. Yeah, but the fun you have when you tell them you're joking. That's what I'm trying to tell
that
you.
That is not
and your
fun.
Kids didn't go through that.
That is not fun.
Well, look,
nothing, no aspect about that whole thing is fun. And
boy,
you are sick. And shame on you for exploiting children in that manner.
You don't have any footage of that, do you? Was anybody rolling?
Oh, come on! Are you kidding? Are you kidding with this lady?
I'm simply asking if they had a video camera running that...
No, they didn't have a video camera. I don't even have to have her answer for you.
Well, I'd like to send that lady a surprise game version and six packs of tickets. Oh, she hung up.
Yeah. Sounds to me like this show is not going to happen, man.
No. I got great interest from Mo Zucker and Gus Berman and all of them.
I don't know who those cats are, man. I know a Gail Berman and a Jeff Zucker.
No, that wouldn't be them. One of them looks like a dude, anyway.
All right. It's Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003. The Phil Henry Show is back.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Wally. Wally, go ahead.
Okay, in my opinion, if that show airs, anybody involved in the production of it should be arrested for child abuse and the parents arrested for child endangerment.
No, we've already checked it out with the police. You don't know what you're talking about.
I know what I'm talking about. I was 20 years old, married, in the Marine Corps when they called me on a morning and told me my father had been killed. Don't know what it felt like then. Let me tell you, I never laughed at anybody in the service that got killed with me. Let me tell you that.
You should have seen the way this guy bought it, though. A crate was parachuted down on top of it.
No way it's funny, buddy. No way it's funny.
Come on, pal.
I've watched aircraft fall out of the sky and everything else, and nothing is funny.
Mr. Hester,
death is funny.
Let me ask Mr. Hester, this is Phil Henry. You know, you're hearing the reactions of people, maybe to adults, but to little kids?
Well, Phil, what we're trying to do is show people death isn't all that big of a deal.
It sure as hell is. It's final, bud.
Well, of course
it is. It's the big number 8.
That's right.
It don't ever end.
I just...
All right, hold on for a minute. I got another gentleman on the line. Can you hang on, Wally?
Yeah.
All right, and who is this, Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Lloyd. You're on with Eric Hester.
Yes, sir. I'm a United States Naval veteran from the Korean conflict, and I'm listening to this man talking
about... You got it. You got it, bud.
Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
Wally.
Yes, sir. Wally, I'm Lloyd. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. I want to say to the gentleman, is the host there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here. You're talking to Mr. Hester.
Hi, Lloyd. This is Eric Hester.
Okay, let me tell you something. I watched a lot of guys get it at the Chosin Reservoir. And when you talk about these guys, you know what I'd like to do to you? I'd like to come down there and tear your head off and relieve myself.
Are you all right, sir?
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, I gotta go, Phil. That man's crazy.
Hey, Wally. Wally. All Marines are queer.
Hello?
I think he hung up, Phil. I think you lost your call. Phil, I'll tell you what. Let's lighten it up a little bit.
Let's lighten it up a little bit. How are you going to do that?
Well, I want to play for you the opening segment from our show, and I think you're going to enjoy it, Phil. I really do. To show you the comedic intent that we have for surprise.
All right. Now, this show is about kids that are being told that their parents died only to find out later you're kidding.
Right. And I'll have to do the voice of the announcer because we don't have... we're hoping to get Stuttering John because he's so wonderful on The Tonight Show. But here it is. Surprise! NBC Television presents... Surprise! Today, the Garson kids are going to find out that their mother and father were fed horribly into a farming combine. Then a half hour later, they'll sit up looking like mangled corpses, but they're really alive. It's all a part of... Surprise! The new reality show for that ZC... Oh, God.
Ow.
What's wrong?
Sorry. Hold on. Help me.
What's wrong, Eric?
Every time I do an announcer voice, I get stuck.
Every time you do an announcer voice, you get stuck?
Yeah. God dang it.
What do you mean stuck?
My jaw is dislocated.
You mean from puking, like the announcer way?
Yeah. Hold on for a minute. Yes, yeah. No, it's not working.
Well, you're going to have to get unstuck there, dude.
You're going to have to get unstuck there, dude. Don't you think I know it?
Yeah, I know you know it, man. Man. I'm sure. Surprise! I'll tell you, I think it sounds like the most perverse idea I've ever seen in my life. You might as well have somebody... Hold on for a minute. What's going on, man?
Well, somebody used to hit me on the back of my head. Excuse me, man. Can you do that?
Yeah, okay.
Ow!
Yeah, oh, God, that's better, Phil. Ooh. All right, let's try it one more time. Surprise!
Your show sucks, man.
I know.
So there it is. Surprise. It'll be coming this fall. They'll tell the kid their parents are dead, and then it's just a big fat joke. Why not? Death is the next taboo. Here's my prediction. See, death, everybody, you're freaked out by death, but actually death is nothing to freak out about because it's part of life, right? In other words, how can you freak out about death when it's the natural process of life? How can that possibly be something to freak out? The way you die, yeah, I could think of some nicer ways and some less nice ways. But dying, Jim, I mean, you can't avoid it. So maybe in the next few years, somebody's going to get a big brainstorm or have a bowel movement, either one. They're both the same thing over television land. And they'll come up with an idea about how you can, you know, have some guy sit up in his casket while the old lady's sitting there going, oh, he was a wonderful, wonderful man. And, well, guess what, Mrs. Bottomley? He's not dead. And then you'll see her just go, and a little bit of blood out of the mouth. And, you know, it's... Surprise. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you get a piece of fat and slide off?
The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hi, Margaret. I just want you to know that I think it is appalling, and you're making me so livid with your ramping and raging about first class and how it's only a special place for all of these, you know, famous, quote-unquote, people. What about people like me? I fly all over the world for my job. I earn my upgrades. I earn my points. And I earn also money flying all over. So, yeah,
that's
there
right.
are times I have to pay for it. But what about me working my butt off, staying away from my family, and earning points so that I can be bumped up, sleep, snooze a little better, so
well,
on and so forth?
Well, Catherine, have you ever heard of business class? That's a perfectly wonderful place for people like you.
Yeah, but what about a
people?
Lot of the airlines, you know, don't have a business
that's
class.
Right.
It's coach or first.
It's either coach or business class. I mean, sometimes...
Catherine, can I ask you, are you in the entertainment business?
No, I am not.
Well, then what has this got to do with you? What I'm saying is our actor and actress were able at one time to travel in anonymity.
Well, then why don't you, since you're such an actress, why don't you go out with your actors and actresses, your co-workers, and go buy a plane, go rent one, and fly in style that way? There are plenty of CEOs out there doing that. There are plenty of deputy chairmen doing that. Why don't you guys get your money together, since you're multimillionaires, and don't worry about these stewardesses, which are flight attendants, by the way.
No, they are stewardesses, because there was a time, Catherine, back in the days when it was a very classy and wonderfully chic thing to do to fly, we called them stewardesses and they liked it. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't think we have to go to the extreme. There's a happy medium. You people go back to coach we reserve first class for what it used to be, quality, class, style, entertainment, and you people can...
You know, I don't like the way you say you people.
Yeah, me.
You know, I really...
You people, that's just...
Well, I'm saying you people who
you're
are...
You're not the president of the United States, okay?
No, I know
you're...
that. Now, he has his own plane. I'm talking about those of us, our actor... Did you see Jennifer Aniston on the Emmys?
Yes.
She didn't get a wink of sleep because she had to wait, because first class was booked on two flights out of New York.
Now, okay, with her money and with Brad Pitt's money and with, you know, however else they make in their $30 million homes or whatever, why can't they? I know how much it costs in order to rent a jet, in order to buy a jet, okay?
The actor and actress brings more to our lives than just entertainment. For many of us, they bring a reason to go on, a reason to crawl on. And I would respectfully submit to you, Catherine, that for what Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston have given you, it is a small thing indeed to say, all right, I'll sit and
what about you. The small thing that we do for you actors, like doing your accounting?
Well, I'm not an actor. I'm
cleaning
like,
your houses, like helping you buy, you know, realty. I mean, it's
I
not
it's
just
a,
you guys and then all the other people. I mean, we do a lot
yeah.
for you guys.
And right,
we
so,
are able, should be able, to be exposed to the same things you guys are.
So in other words, ironing a shirt is the same as the brilliant performance that Brad Pitt gave us in Legends of the Fall. Are you really trying to say something like that?
Wait a minute, I got to jump in here. Ironing a shirt is ironing a shirt, okay?
No housekeeper flies first class.
I'm not, you see, now you're the
well,
one who's going on to... No, I'm talking about people, okay? What about the people that promote you, promote Brad, and got Brad to where he is? We are, as you know, the people that make him look pretty, that help him buy his house, okay, his realtor, the people that chaperone him around, the people that get him his flight, you know, his tickets, everything else.
Absolutely.
Why doesn't Paramount, why doesn't whomever they decide they want to work with buy a plane, and for the people that work for Paramount can then use the plane?
Catherine, here is a woman, Jennifer Aniston, Emmy Award winner, looking like she had to sit between Vinta and Toby in Coach. Now, Brad Pitt gave us one of the most movie performances of the year in Snatch, and you're trying to tell me...
Well, you forget about Snatch and Legend
yeah,
of the
really?
Fall. Good Lord. Can't he sit and coach or, yeah, just like the lady said, buy his own plane?
He's not the president of the United States. Oh, so in other words, we're not allowed, the actor and actress is not allowed to be on a commercial jetliner. I find that very exclusionary.
No, nobody said that.
Nobody said
you're not allowed to.
We're saying,
I'm just
would you
simply
let some...
saying if you guys are so all that and then some, well, then with all of your millions that you make and that you don't need, go buy a plane together.
Have you flown first class, Catherine? Have you, Mr. Henry?
Yes, I have, with my frequent flyer miles, like Catherine.
Did you ever sit next to one of our actors or actresses?
Yes.
I have.
Yeah, I did.
Who?
Well, I sat next to a very nice lady who is appearing in the film Bloodwork with Clint Eastwood, Wanda De Jesus.
I never heard of her. What about you, Catherine?
You never
yes,
heard of
I've
her.
I sat next
no.
to Denzel Washington. I've sat next to...
And he didn't mind?
No.
Well, I find that surprising.
Most
Why the hell would he mind?
Most actors that are bad, they get, you know, chaperoned on the plane first, so before anybody else is even allowed to get on the plane...
No, I want to be clear. Denzel Washington didn't complain.
He did not complain that I saw.
I will tell you this much. I sat next to Steve Guttenberg, and I showed him my press pass, and then he was all right with me. But before that, he was uncomfortable.
Well, that's too bad.
Well, then, you know,
you
people need to know we are all...
Did human. You tell Mr. Washington what you did for a living?
I did not bother to... When I go to the first class, it's not to get
well,
the gossip on who is who.
Right, he probably assumed you're a casting director or something.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, what's your last pork chop information? These are the questions I ask myself.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We are talking with Dr. Jim Sadler. His book is really a collection of psychological profiles of people and how people have changed since the experience of 9/11. How has it changed you? How has it changed me? Dr. Sadler joins us on the phone. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
I've often heard it said that 9/11 was a trauma, not unlike a war experience where one suffers traumatic stress for a long time. True?
This is true, Phil, for people who hold on to the negative energy of a horrible event like 9/11. It can last literally for years. What our book tries to do is take advantage of the experiences of people who turned it into a positive life change. And I have many stories in my book about those people, but the one we all have in common, it motivates us in different ways.
I know that I look at the world differently. Some of my politics have shifted. Some of my, I suppose, my viewpoints have sharpened.
Well, it does change us. I'm talking more from a almost a proactive way. I'll give you an example. In my case, since 9/11, I found myself resolving to free myself up, to not be as pent up. I'll tell you an interesting story. I mentioned it in my book. It was 4 months after 9/11, and I had been feeling what we all had been feeling, the fear and the depression, and I walked into a gymnasium in Hermosa Beach, and I enrolled in a three-week training program. And I got to tell you, I really got myself into shape. I traveled to Europe for some bodybuilding competition, and it was there that I learned the very relaxed ways that many Europeans have. And I returned to the United States with those.
Were those European ways you're talking about much different from the American ways that you returned to?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You were a much more open person?
Well, yes, and I resolved to be true to myself more than anything else, not to let people tell me what to do anymore. I'm living for myself because life is too short. An example of this is the fact, in southern France and many of the people in Europe sunbathe, many of the men sunbathe wearing thong bathing suits. It was comfortable. I did that. And I felt at home, and because of my bodybuilding, I don't have an unattractive body to look at. When I returned home to America, I saw how tense everyone was on account of 9/11. So as an example, I would adopt the opposite idea. I began to do my gardening, my lawn mowing, trimming what have you, wearing this thong bathing suit or lycra shorts. Or the Polynesian sarong, and it got people talking in the neighborhood. So you
became a lot freer with your body, in other words.
Well, that way, and my attitude, yes.
And were the people accepting of you wearing, when you were wearing a thong bathing suit, or this is kind of revealing clothing, right?
Well, what happens, Phil, is people still hang on to 9/11. A lot of people are still hanging on to the negative energy, and they can't let go of the fear. And I find it really very interesting on any given day, I will sunbathe on my front lawn, laying on my stomach, and it's interesting to see how many people are still hanging on to 9/11 and how many can simply enjoy the fact that they have a bodybuilder living across the street or next door and enjoy my body, because, and that they're not offended by it. That's what I guess my message is, to enjoy the fact that you have a bodybuilder, if you will, living in next door to you, and not be outraged by the thong underwear. And
so people have, in your experience, been resisting you sunbathing on your front lawn in a thong? Is that...
Yes, absolutely. And
that is because of 9/11?
Well, because of the fear they have. Look, there are two elderly women who live across the street from me, and I've talked to them on occasion. And one of the things I try to do is sunbathe or do my gardening or even my exercising in the morning when they're in the kitchen. And I know they enjoy seeing a man with, you know, a developed physique, and I'll do stretches. I put my leg up on the fence. Sometimes I'll, you know, drink lemonade. I'll let it drip down my chest or this, or oil up, because these are elderly women and they can watch a well-developed man working out. It's just 9/11 not letting us, you know, controlling our fear.
All right, I'm talking here with Dr. Jim Sadler, a number 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. So you went out and you went and developed you got into bodybuilding as the result of this fear.
I was pent up with depression, yes.
And now you're living on a street where you're sunbathing in a thong and you're doing exercises and so on and so forth. Now, I guess my question is, what is the resistance? Obviously, there's people going to be upset with this, right?
Well, I get a visit from the young lady who was one of these ladies' daughters, and she asked me not to do the exercises, and I asked why, and she said she doesn't find it appropriate. I tell her I'm doing them for the old ladies in the house. It's really none of your business. See, I told her it's none of your business. And in the past, I never would have said it's none of your business. But I told this young lady, who is the daughter of one of these old women, I said it's none of your business. And then I realized what the problem was. She hasn't let go of 9/11. She's still hanging on to the fear and the pain and the anger of 9/11. And secondly, I realized that she probably in some way was just trying to meet me. I am a man in my mid-50s, but I'm built. And because of my bodybuilding, I'm very well developed. You know.
Are you married?
Yes, I am. Tracy and I are celebrating our second wedding anniversary next month.
So you have complaints from the neighbor. And I want to ask you something. If you're feeling very free with your body and you're feeling very... You know, you are a bodybuilder and you wear a thong and you're out in your front yard and you feel that you've freed up because of 9/11. If I'm a father, let's say, and I have children, or a wife who doesn't like seeing you in your thong, if I come over to your house, what are you going to say?
Well, first of all, my hat's off to you, Phil. If you see. And I'm not a violent man, but if you just see my body, my hat's off to you if you want to actually come over and you know, get up into my face about something. But
no, I'm not going to get into your face. I would simply say, Mr. Sadler or Dr. Sadler, you are sunbathing in a thong, and I have a wife and children who may find that offensive, or maybe I'm just offended on their behalf. Could you maybe not do that?
And you've come to my house to come?
Yes, I've come over to your house to say I recognize that you feel freer about yourself and you've gotten into bodybuilding since 9/11.
Well, that would be my first statement to you. I would say, why don't you let go of your fear about 9/11? Because what you're doing is you're using your wife and your children to mask the fact that you feel intimidated by my physique, you know? And that is only going to hurt you.
No, wait. I don't think you're understanding me. I'm not intimidated. Well, maybe I am intimidated by your physique, whatever, but I really don't want to see you sunbathing in a thong when my daughter is out playing or this kind of thing, you know?
Well, at that point, then I would say to you, let go of your fear of 9/11.
All right, let's establish that I don't have any fear about 9/11. I just don't want you sunbathing in a thong.
At that point, then I'd say that, you know, you're a very brave man coming over and telling me to get up into my face about stuff. And
I'm not getting into your face.
Well, you are if you're asking me to alter my lifestyle. And you're projecting your insecurities on me instead of healing your pain over 9/11. And
no, but I'm saying to you, I'm not in any pain over... Maybe I'm in pain over 9/11 still, but I am simply asking...
Well, see, that's a good admission. That you.
No, but I'm saying you're in a thong, and you're oiled up, and you're laying out on your stomach, sunbathing on your front lawn, while my daughter, my wife... Or perhaps even other females of the neighborhood are walking around.
Then you see that there, we're at the crux. Then it's none of your business. See, it's none of your.
What, my daughter? It is my business.
Well, your daughter, yes, it is your business. But your wife, or the other lady.
Yeah, it's my wife. It's my business too.
Well, she's an adult, and if she's enjoying it, and
wait a minute. How do you know she's enjoying it, man? I mean, she may say to me, look at that guy in his thong, he looks like an idiot.
Well, I can assure you, because I know... You know, look, my wife is 22, I'm 55. So I think I know a little bit about women, and I can tell you...
So in other words, if you're laying out there oiled up in a thong... Oh, man, I can't believe, dude. You know...
What?
You're trying to tell me. All right, you're out laying on your stomach in a thong, and my wife, you say, is getting her jollies looking at you, so it's none of my business.
No, I'm saying that any woman, whether she's married or not, that's her business if she wants to enjoy my body.
It's not the business of the husband.
No, how could it be? She is an adult and is completely independent of him. And
so if a husband comes over to you and says, I don't want you on your front lawn sunbathing like that, my wife can see it, you're saying that he's getting up into your face.
Yes, he is. And again, my hat's off to anyone who will walk over to me, because if 9/11 never happened, you wouldn't be bothered by me oiling up. But because of 9/11, this is the problem.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. This gentleman, Dr. Jim Sadler, after 9/11 got into bodybuilding and eventually, I guess, traveled to France. He now sunbathes and does gardening and everything in a thong. And you know what a thong, piece of thong underwear is? It basically is just like, you know, dental floss up the butt crack. He's on his front lawn doing all of this, and apparently it's nobody's business but his own. He seems to think the women in the neighborhood enjoy it. There are a couple of elderly women who live across the street from him that he says he does pull-ups on a tree, etc. And I just want to, you know, I asked him, look, if a husband comes over to you and says, I'd rather you not do this, my wife is watching, he says it's none of our business as husbands. Now, he says that this is all post-9/11 trauma, that if 9/11 hadn't happened, I'd be cool with him in his thong on his front lawn. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800, let's forget about the men. What about the women? He says the women enjoy him. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you ask Mommy to scoop you an extra helping of dumb tonight?
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm with Dr. Jim Sadler, who has written a book on 9/11 and how the experience has changed so many people. You went to Europe, you started bodybuilding, you've come back to the United States. Are you teaching?
I am teaching, Phil, teaching at Morrison College, and I'm also, I've written, obviously, the book, and doing a lot of different things, enjoying my marriage to my lady, and enjoying the fact that I feel so good with, you know, all of the weightlifting that I do. And
okay, and all of that is fine. When you were approached by a contingent of homeowners to not be out in your front yard doing leg lifts and this kind of thing, you do chin-ups from trees?
I've got an oak tree in my front yard. Let me tell you about that. I do a number of chin-ups and leg lifts. This is very standard.
Well, this was said apparently by a group of...
Can I say what it actually is, as opposed to what this group of right-wingers in the neighborhood say it is?
But let me just tell you what they say it is, and then respond to that, okay?
All right.
They say that you are doing leg lifts hanging off of a tree, and that you are raising your legs up so high that certain parts of your anatomy is very noticeable, especially since you're in a thong. They also say that you were doing those leg lifts while a bus from one of the local elementary schools was letting kids out. Is that correct?
So that makes me a pervert now, is that?
No, but is that correct?
Well, let me just tell you. Yes, I do leg lifts. I do them primarily for the elderly women across the street.
Have these women asked you to do exercises so they can watch your body?
Have they
asked you?
No, they haven't asked me, but they're two elderly women. You put two and two together. They're two elderly women. They're both sisters. They're living alone. I don't see a lot of men going in and out of there. I see their daughter, the daughter of one of the ladies, going in and out. You put two and two together, brother, you're going to get. okay? So,
well, I'm putting two and two together. It doesn't necessarily mean these are two old women that want to see you oil up and do chin-ups.
Well, then maybe you should read from the math book that I'm reading from, because my book says two old ladies, you know, I'm giving them a break. Check, you know, looking, checking me out. So,
you really think you're something, don't you?
No, I don't think I'm something. Look, Mr. Henry, this is all about 9/11. And
no, I know it's all about 9/11, but you're saying any man, any husband, anybody who says that they'd rather you not be out on your front lawn doing leg lifts, and what is this doing stretches with one leg up on the fence?
It's for the old ladies who...
All right, so you admit that when you do a stretch with your leg up on the fence, they can see something?
No, they can't see something. Yeah, they see me.
And the squats with your back to their house?
I use a barbell, yes.
But you're doing the squats with your back to their house?
Yes. Can I just say one thing, Phil? Your fear from 9/11 is just dripping off of you. And
no, sir, this is not 9/11. This is simply a neighborhood of people who don't want to see you exposing yourself.
No, it's 9/11 fear.
Let me go over here to Wendy, who's on the line. Wendy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes.
I'd like to ask the gentleman why he's doing this in public. There are clubs that one can join if one wants to be an exhibitionist. It's very disgusting. Nobody wants to walk down the street or look out of their house and see some man flaunting his body on the front lawn. That is not the place to be doing that.
Well,
now, there are places to go where you can do that. You don't have to do it in public in front of everybody.
I understand. But the question was asked me, well, how have I changed since 9/11? And since 9/11, I don't have the fear.
I think you're using 9/11 as an excuse to be an exhibitionist.
Well, ma'am, I'm not showing. I'm not decently exposing myself. No, I am not. I'm wearing a thong underwear. See, even you're enjoying it.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, well, you're laughing.
In fact, I find that you're...
Well, why are you laughing?
Time of, I'm laughing because I think it's very sad.
Oh,
have to go out on the lawn.
I'm a psychologist, and I can tell you that your laughter is hysteria.
You are an exhibitionist.
Your
laughter is hysteria. There are places that are for people like you that you can go join a club and show off all you want without having to discuss
the neighbors. Well, it sounds to me like you get a kick out of it, you know, and I think you'd be far better off.
Your words on women are very derogatory. How do you know?
Excuse me?
That's very derogatory. How do you know how women feel about seeing you out in your front lawn with a thong on?
First of all, these are two old biddies.
Oh,
I'm giving them a break.
That's a nice way of describing them, two old biddies. That's very complimentary.
What I'm trying to say is I'm giving them a break. They can check me out. They're having their coffee.
Maybe they're not hard up, just fed up, sweetie.
You know, you Brits always sunbathe in the nude. What are you? Why am I
not
allowed to?
No, we don't all sunbathe in the nude, and obviously I don't.
Well, a lot of these Europeans that I saw when I was over there, they're always showing, and they ain't showing much, let me tell you that, but they're showing it. So I decided...
Well, look, you think you're hot looking. That's fine. The question is, why are you trying to force these old women across the street to watch it, and why are you not respecting the wishes of your neighbors who say, please don't do it, my kids?
It's none of their business. If the women enjoy it, Wendy here, if she saw me, she'd in a New York minute.
Oh, I don't believe this. How could you possibly know that?
If you saw the way I'm built, you'd be all over me like stink on you know what.
I don't think so, and I think you have a very low opinion of women. And you have an even higher opinion of yourself
that
maybe not be shared with the rest of the neighborhood.
I'll tell you what people want to see. They want to see a happy America, a healed America, okay? I'm bronze, all right? I've worked a long time on my tan. A long time. And when I show that to the ladies in the neighborhood, I do some flexing.
Well,
they're probably looking at you thinking they wonder when you're going to get skin cancer.
I'll tell you right now, I can crack a walnut right where the thong sits. I can crack a walnut there.
And?
Oh, you tell me you don't want to see that?
No, not particularly, no.
All right, hey, listen, Wendy, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Should this man be allowed to wear his thong out there in public? Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Dr. Jim Sadler. His book profiles a number of people and how their psyches have changed, how their experiences, how they've changed as people since the experience of 9/11. You have chronicled on our show and in your book how you changed. You've become a weight bodybuilder, correct?
That is correct, Phil, although weightlifting and bodybuilding do go hand in hand. In fact, I'm in a gym right now, which is a neighborhood gym that I use.
All right, and you said that because of that you've developed a nice-looking body, and you are out on your front lawn sunbathing in a thong, which is a tradition that you learned in Europe.
Yeah, you know, there's an awful lot we have to learn from the Europeans. I'm very sorry that we see them as the enemy in a lot of ways, because the Europeans showed me how to loosen up and just sort of let it all hang out. And so when I am relaxing, I am on the front lawn, doing a variety of exercises, bending my knees over my head. But
all of those exercises are designed to show people your body. Isn't that right?
Well, no, they're not designed, but they do. And I wish you wouldn't concentrate so much on it.
Well, you got this lady that asked you not to do it.
But those old women have been... They went in their house thinking that Al-Qaeda's going to get them, and I'm trying to get them to feel good about America again by doing fun things. Like, I run through the sprinklers in the front lawn or doing scissor kicks on the porch. I did a thing the other day. I held the garden gloves between my buttocks to show the muscle strength. And all of this, like right now, I'm doing heavy compound lifts right now because I'm always working on my body.
All right, let me go to a phone call, 1-800-449-8686. Kenny, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, man. Doc, are you crazy? Are you a moron? You got to be crazy. Listen, I've been lifting since I was 20, and I'm 43. I don't need to be in the front yard showing off to everybody else.
But why do you hide
what
it?
I am.
Why do you hide it?
See who is. All they need to know is who I am inside, not about looking at me on my front lawn. And I'll tell you right now, if I'm in your neighborhood, I'll be happy to walk up and say, hey, man, could you put some pants on? Nobody else in the neighborhood wants to see your bronze little buns.
Well, you know, first of all, congratulations on your weightlifting career. And secondly, I wish you felt more free with yourself to be able to show off your physique, which you have earned, especially when you're giving some of the ladies in the neighborhood a break. I mean, look at half of these guys that they're married to. You see what I'm saying? If you're a little more European, you'd be out there on the front lawn in a nice brown thong or whatever you want to wear, showing the ladies what it's all about.
Hey, is that what I'd be
you're
doing?
You're kidding.
Man, you know what? This body's for my wife. It's not for anybody else. You got a wife? Share it with her. Not everybody else in the neighborhood.
What do you lift?
Where do I lift or what do
what,
I lift?
What do you lift?
As far as...
Wait, are you talking max?
Are you talking...
Yeah, what's your max?
Oh, my max has been over 400. Now it's probably 310.
Oh, really? Kind of sliding a little bit, huh?
As you get older, you know, other things take priority.
Well, listen to this.
Kids take priority. Wives take priority.
I'm going to
tell you right now, I have three daughters. And, you know, I don't want any of them looking at your butt.
That was my point.
Do you do any of those DB presses? Can you do them seated?
DB presses for what?
I can do the max on a hip abductor machine. Listen to this. Oh, yeah.
Okay, look, Dr. Sadler?
Yeah.
We don't want to hear you.
That makes you a man?
Well, what are you talking about?
Look, this man made a good point.
That does nothing for me. That does nothing for me. Hey. And if you're trying to tell me that it's got something to do with 9/11, you're crazy.
No.
You're crazy, man.
The fact
that... Nothing in 9/11's got nothing to do with you wanting people to look at your body.
No, the fact that you don't want to wear a thong is because you're still afraid of 9/11.
Oh, I see. I see.
What?
So what is my fear? That's what I want to know, because I see no fear in 9/11. Those people aren't intimidating to me. Those people aren't, you know, I don't worry about those people.
Have you ever done a hack squat calf raise?
Oh, come off it, man.
All right, look, Mr. Sadler or Dr. Sadler.
I am a doctor.
All right. The point here, and Kenny alluded to it, if he has daughters who are coming in and out of the house and see this, wouldn't you respect a father who comes over and says, would you mind, my daughters are out here?
Well, I mean, what's he afraid of? 9/11, that's what he's afraid of. Why is he...
What? Wait a minute, he's saying, I don't care, maybe even my wife doesn't care. My kids, I care about them.
That's right, and I say, hey man, how about if you're going to put that thong on, go to your backyard instead of the front yard, because nobody in the neighborhood wants to see it.
Well, I would say this, Kenny, the day that you're able to put your pain away for 9/11 is the day you'll be out on your lawn doing swish kicks in a thong. That's all I can tell you.
He said it isn't about 9/11. And it isn't about 9/11 for me. It's about, if I'm in a neighborhood, for crying out loud, man, I'd like to have a little bit of decency on the outside of the house. Instead of, put it in the backyard like the guy said. Okay, hey, Kenny, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. The Phil Henry Show is back.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Sarah. Sarah, go ahead.
Yes, first of all, I want to say
I've got a beautiful body.
I would like to say that it's part of my husband's input. It's for him to input. He can give the input to say that he don't want me to see something. And I would totally honor that.
Well, but he's going to come up to me and say, put some pants on. And meanwhile, you're the one that suffers.
Well, I'm woman enough, I would come over myself and ask you, could you at least, especially in the neighborhood, especially when you have children. I don't know if you have any children.
No, I
don't.
My
wife's... type of morals you have. But
well, I don't
around like that around children in the neighborhood.
I'm not naked. I'm a weightlifter, for God's sake. I'm not a perv. Good Lord.
But you're in a freaking bathing suit, dude, that shows everything, okay?
I don't wear a bathing suit. I don't even put a bathing suit on my children.
She thinks that you're me and I'm her.
No, excuse me. Sarah, this is Phil Henry. I'm saying to him.
Oh.
Ma'am,
okay.
If you saw me in a thong, you'd be as close to Nirvana as you ever get. I'm pretty hot.
Not to me.
Well, how do you know? You've never even seen me.
I know that. I know for a fact, because first of all, you said you're blonde. I don't like blondes, first of all.
I'd say I was blonde. But listen to this. I'm going to do for you, Sarah, I'm going to do a close grip bench press. Listen to this.
I don't need to listen to none of that. That does not turn me on. Blondes don't turn me on. What you're doing don't turn me on. It's not
like,
all in the looks and what you should do.
You like weightlifting?
Well, what are you doing, Dr. Sadler? You lifting weights for kicks?
Women are impressed by it.
No, he's impressed by what he's doing. That does not impress me.
I can crush a cinder block.
And?
With a crowd. Listen to this. Triceps. You. Oh, man.
How is that attractive to a woman, you cursing?
I'm sorry, it's the pain, basically.
She has no morals. That's what it is.
Well, I do have morals. I'm a married man. My wife and I are married 2 years.
You're a married man and
absolutely.
Your wife lets you go out like that?
My wife is very liberated.
I would have no respect for you.
She's
22. Do you have any children?
Not as of yet. We're just 2 years married, although I'm planning on having many. Here, listen to this, Sarah.
So you would walk around for your children like that?
Well, I certainly wouldn't have my children be ashamed of their father and the beauty of God's creation, man. Now listen, here are 5 reps of hammer curls.
Well, that's why God made Adam and Eve. I don't need to listen to
great.
All this.
It listen to this sense. Guy. You know what, man? You're putting me off any idea of ever lifting weights as long as I live.
Why? It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like kicks to me. Did you hear that, Cat? He was screaming. He was screaming, man. Five reps of hammer curls. Dr. Jim Sadler's book is called Psychological Profiles and How They've Changed People Since the Experience of 9/11. Yes, sir?
Here's a shrug and a deadlift. Ow!
All right, 1-800... 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, a lot of women find me very sassy.
The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
RC, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, great show as always.
Thank you.
I'm very young. I'm only 16, but I heard you talking to that man about the adult diapers, and I think it was pretty insensitive of him to talk about that.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody has to get old, and I know your generation, the baby generation.
It's not the baby generation. It's the...
I'm sorry?
It's the baby boomer generation.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry. That you guys are getting older, but you have a big impact, and you should be proud of that.
Well, thank you very much. I hope we did. We were just a kind of a crazy... there was just a lot of us. 75 million babies born between 1945 and 1962. That's a
large generation of people.
Yes, it is.
Well, I think it's something to be proud of. And I know it's probably scary getting older.
Well, it's funny you should mention that.
No, it's okay. I mean, you can tell me.
Well, it is. It is scary getting older, RC. It's suddenly you look in the mirror, you're not young anymore. Suddenly you look at an old man stares back at you, where once a guy who was kind of ready to go out and kick did, but I try to deal with it.
But the fear must be very tangible, palpable almost. I mean, I'm so young, I don't know, but it is. Ain't it?
Yeah, it is. It's
it's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is sad.
Did you have a good life?
Well, I'm not dead yet.
No, I know, but have you had a good life?
I've had a good life. I have. I'm very happy with the life I've had. I hope I still have a lot to...
Oh, I'm sure you do, but it's still kind of scary.
It's not fun.
But you can look back and feel proud.
Yes. Yes, I can. I've built a good career. I've got a great family. I have four kids. I hope I make a positive impact. But,
But still in all, you are aware of age.
Yeah. You know, RC, it's, I don't really want to tell you.
Oh, you can tell me, Mr. Henry.
Well, I mean, I just met you.
No, please tell me. I guarantee, I respect you. I've listened to you a lot. I really respect what you have to say.
You don't mind?
No, I really don't mind hearing.
It's almost as if you can hear yourself getting older. I mean, it sounds crazy. It's like the crashing of waves or something. I can't describe it, but it's almost as if I can hear myself getting older.
You can hear yourself getting older?
Yeah.
Does it sound anything like this?
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This guy is ridiculous. How can he dare to encroach his own opinions on someone else and step on their own individualism?
Their own what?
Their own individualism.
Well, let me ask you, are you in favor of gay marriage, yes or no?
No.
All right, so in other words, you want to me off.
Exactly. Because how dare you try to tell me how to think?
That proves that you really don't have an opinion about it. You just want to me off. Now, see, only a gay man can get that truth out of you.
Excuse me, I have a gay woman sitting right next to me, and she agrees with me exactly the same way.
Are you gay?
No.
You know I'm gay?
Yes.
All right, so, and you are in favor of gay marriage?
No.
Yeah, but you just said you're against it because you want to tighten my jaws, right?
Nope. I just want to point out...
See, you lied again because you did.
You step on someone else's toes and say, hey, look, I'm gay, think my way, and screw what you think...
Wait a minute.
So your own life
I don't know why you're against gay marriage. You got a girlfriend sitting there who would probably love to be your wife. And I've talked to about 100 teens and I only had to really slap about three of them.
You know what? You know why she wouldn't want to be my girlfriend? Because she respects my own opinion about my life.
Yeah, but you're hanging around.
I have two small children.
You're hanging around with her because the gay lifestyle is calling you.
No, because she's been my best friend since we were 14.
That's like saying you got a blacket for a best friend. It's impossible. Only whites hang with whites and straights hang with straights. Now,
what kind of world do you live in, man?
Oh, stop it, Phil. I've talked to 100 teenagers. Most of them are honest. Yeah, man, I'm in favor of it. Yeah, yeah. Two of them got out of line. I slapped them. And I don't like to do that. I don't like to slap young people. I don't like to slap them across the face and see them cry.
There is no way that you live in a real world.
Well, I'm telling you, Doug, you slap one of my kids.
Oh, here we go. You gotta act tough again?
I'm not acting tough. You're the guy acting tough. Hey, what do you think about gay marriage? I'm against it. Yeah? Think about it again.
So you're calling me a bully.
You're slapping kids. You're pushing this lady around, calling her a liar, saying...
She's the one that said that the only reason why she was against gay marriage is because she wanted to f*** me off. So that's not honest. But you know what?
How can you tell me if I'm saying... Wait a minute.
Ask your girlfriend.
What?
You say your girlfriend's on the fast pitch team, right?
She's in the car, or she's in the store right now, but she is riding alongside me in the car.
She's fast pitch.
What?
What do you mean fast pitch?
She's a diesel.
Doug, she did.
How in the heck do you call someone something like that when you act the way you do?
Ma'am, oh, I'm trying to determine, are you the gay one or is she?
She is.
Oh,
I'm married with two small children.
And you're in favor of gay marriage and she's against it.
No. She has been married for 12 years.
She's been married for 12 years, your friend,
yes,
Julie?
She has.
Is she married to a guy?
No.
Well, I don't understand.
I do not agree with
her.
She's
a gay woman.
But I respect her enough to still be her friend. That has nothing to do with her friendship.
Ask her, if she's your friend and she's gay, ask her how well she'll treat you when the gay riot comes down. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's when it's all going to be...
Oh, stop with the gay riot.
You know what?
She has marched in gay pride marches, okay?
Yeah,
and she respects anyone that has a different opinion than she does.
Julie, I'm going to say this to you with all respect, but I think you more than once have been curious about eating a lunch, haven't you?
What do you mean, eating a lunch?
I mean that Julie is a wannabe lunch eater. And she's hanging out with a gay woman. Have you heard of a threesome? She wants you to come over to have a little lesbo sandwich with her and her girlfriend so that you can...
Will you stop?
You know, I've been asked about threesomes before, and I've turned them down every single time, and it's...
Yeah, you know why? Because those women won't shave.
All right.
That
Their
has
faces.
Nothing to do with it.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Very well, you will kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings.
Show with Bill Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Bill Henry.
We'll be joined in just a second by Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist and involved with Project AWARE, trying to gender neutralize language by the year 2007 and beyond. Coming up also tonight on our show will be a mailbag, and we'll also have A Life Imitates Phil with Don Parsley, a recent guest of ours. We will also have Star Magazine's Most Unflattering Pictures or Picture of the Week. Margaret, thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Phil.
Tell me what Project AWARE is and the effort to gender neutralize terms. Now, before you start, I know the University of Syracuse was traditionally, their mascot was the Orange Men. They've changed it to the Orange so people know what we're talking about.
Yes, gender neutralization, Phil, is really simply eliminating the gender-specific word men or man from the common vernacular. And while we've made a lot of strides in making things gender neutral, There is really so much work to be done. I'm doing some work with Glenn Close.
Really?
A tremendous actress and certainly very committed to our cause. And we're working on a project for next year, as you mentioned, called Project Aware. We're trying really to wake up the American woman. And it is a call to arms for all American women, not just those of us who are in the trenches, if you will, or those of us who are on the front lines in the sort of the hyperdrive of this.
What is the call to arms?
Well, what we're looking for is full gender neutralization in language, in official documents, books, textbooks, publications, certainly at the government level, by 2007. We really have got George Bush on the run here, and we're not slowing down.
Well, I'm going to ask you what that means, because I don't know what he has to do with it. But
well, what George Bush has to do with it simply is this. He's taken the country away from the real serious needs of gender neutralization and the gender neutralization paradigm with his rather colorful and theatrical war on terror. But I think the American people are waking up to it.
Well, you want to make things gender neutral. What is Project Aware, I guess, in relation to that?
Well, Phil, it starts really the saddest part of all of this. The saddest part of all of this is that most American women, while they want full gender neutrality, are not aware of what it's going to take. Now, I'm on your program today to give your female listeners a little friendly slap to the face. It's a wake-up call to get back to the only fight that females should be fighting, and that is to walk hand-in-hand with a man on a level playing field. I'm sorry, I had some dinner.
That's all right.
You know, out here in California, we're doing some very exciting things. This weekend, I'll be joining 30 powerful Hollywood professional women for an encounter weekend on gender neutrality. Next week, all next week, we'll be conducting workshops on Dr. Hedding's very exciting work, which could make transgender sexual reassignment available to any woman who wants it. What I'm saying is this. We're in hyperdrive out here, and the average American woman so needs to be brought up to speed.
All right, Margaret Gray has joined us on our program, Project Aware, Gender Neutral Language, Taking Man or Men Out of the Words. What is the first thing when it comes to this gender neutrality in speech? It seems everything is fairly neutralized.
All except one word.
Okay.
And it's going to take many years to gender neutralize probably the most offensive word in the English language to American females, and that word is woman or women. Because, again, the word is not appropriate. It is gender specific. It contains the word man or men and therefore makes the American female and all females, it makes us an extension of a man. Now, we want certainly to eliminate that word, but I don't join a lot of people.
Do you honestly think you'll stop using the word women or woman?
Personally, I don't, and I've argued with Katie Couric about this. She loathes the word, and if you see her on the Today Show and she has to say the word woman, I swear, I've watched, she almost gets a look as if there's something foul-smelling in the air, and I hate the word as well. It's a hateful, hateful gender-biased word, woman. But how do we educate the American woman on this?
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're just getting into this discussion with Margaret Gray about getting rid of gender-specific words. And I've never heard of anybody saying they want to get rid of the word woman or women because it's gender-specific, but I suppose if you look at it...
Well, it does. It contains the word man or men. And the American female that accepts the use of the word woman or women, and it isn't unusual to see American females do this, is really just aiding and abetting an enemy that is very, very insidious. One of the things that we're up against is we're on the West Coast. I live out in Los Angeles. We're in hyperdrive out here. We are doing all the gender neutrality and gender neutrality paradigm work. The rest of the women of America, in bringing the rest of the women of America up to speed on much of this, Phil, it's almost as if you're, and I don't want to be offensive, but it is almost as if you're talking with a baboon. They're very intelligent, But they're still animals, and they still need to be shown.
Well, look, you're trying to educate women to get them to expect and insist on gender-neutral words.
Exactly.
And that includes the elimination of the word woman. And it seems with education and time, you're going to be able to do that.
Well, all of this...
I mean, it doesn't seem difficult.
All of this is leading to transgender reassignment and making it available at a reasonable cost for all women so that we finally have equal footing with men in terms of the physical sexual paradigm.
Margaret Gray with us, 1-800-449-8686. You're talking about a lot of stuff here. You want to get rid of all of the words. I just saw on the sports page they were comparing the Orangemen, eliminating Orangemen and turning it into Orange to St. John's, used to be called the Redmen.
I'm not familiar. Is that a college nickname?
Yeah, the St. John's Redmen are now the St. John's Red Storm.
Well, all of these things are a step in the right direction. To get rid of a word that to the American female and to enlightened females worldwide is a hateful, loathsome word can only be a first step. But what good is it when we still use the word wimban, woman, wimmen, woman? All of these words, it's as if I'm lying to myself and to every woman when I say gender, specificity. I've been, Phil, at so many seminars, and I've said it over and over. Gender specificity by 2007. What in the name of sweet living Jesus are we doing? And yet there I am, afterwards having coffee in the after chat, or what we call the after talk, using the word woman, and I feel like a whore. I feel like a hypocrite.
All right, you've mentioned can I ask you about something else?
Yes.
And our number, 1-800-449-8686 for Margaret Gray. You've mentioned gender reassignment. What do you mean by that?
I mean, Phil, a day, and I was talking about it last night with Barry Levinson, who's a very sympathetic male contributor.
You mean the movie director?
Yes. And the day when all women are able to have male sexual organs but remain essentially women, the day is not far off. We are shooting for, and I think the timetable is 2010, if we can get the insurance companies on board. And that,
well, you're talking about women having male sexual organs as well as female?
Look, we're not talking about making with females male. We are simply talking about giving us the added option. That's all we want is the option. We want the option.
Well, what if a man wants an option to be a woman or to be female?
No man wants that option unless they are transgender, transsexual. No, I'm talking about straight women. No, what man in his right mind would want to be female? No man who is sane, in other words.
Well, what about transsexuals?
They're not sane. They're insane. They are...
So you don't believe in a transsexual gender reassignment?
No, I think it is mentally disturbed. I think opting for it as a female... In other words, to walk in and say, I want to have male sex organs too, or in addition to what I have, is the natural next step. It's the
In full equality for women.
In full equality for women. It's the natural next step. And again, as I said, if we can get Kaiser Permanente and some of the larger medical male providers on board by 2010, we've got a fighting chance to get gender reassignment surgery available for all women, and by the very early part of this century, Phil, the American female will be physically as well as socially and psychologically, structurally equal to men. It's an exciting, exciting time, and we've done so much work, but again, we're out here on the West Coast.
All right, well, being out here on the West Coast, you're in hyperdrive, as you said. Most American females...
We've got to bring them up to speed. We've got to tell women and females, first of all, insist on gender-neutral terms, number one. Number two, whenever you can, fight against the gender-specific woman, women. Number three, don't lose hope. Gender reassignment surgery is for you. You can have male sex organs, and reasonably so, within your own lifetime. please.
I want to ask you something, Margaret, and I'm ignorant. Does the American female want to have male sex organs?
I think when she's educated to what it means, yes. Absolutely.
The average housewife, the average woman.
When she's educated, if you talk to the average female in America, as I said, and I'm trying to be kind, it's like talking to a child that's autistic. It's, you love them, but you're looking into a dead stare. The face is dead. You say, do you understand how exciting it is? You can have male genitalia by the year 2020. And they look at you like, huh, what? If the other women I'm working with in Project Aware can make gender assignment easier, I'll tell you, we will see the day when women finally get an equal say in society. I think it's exciting.
All right, Margaret Gray is with us. Our number one, that's a hell of a lot to digest. 1-800-449-8686. You're talking about full gender equality in America can only come when transgender sexual reassignment is available to all women, when women can have male sex organs too. Additionally, she wants to get rid of the use of the word woman. In gender-specific language, it's the last word left that is gender-specific. Women, woman. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. I know she's talking about she's in touch with some pretty heavy people. Linda Evangelista, Patti Smythe, Ann B. Davis. There's a lot of heavy hitters involved in this. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Margaret Gray from Project Aware here on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
There's braces for your teeth and a bus to Dollywood if you'll shut up.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray with Project Aware, trying to awaken, that's what it means, trying to awaken the American woman to gender neutrality, making language gender neutral, not gender specific, and that includes the word woman being a rather offensive term, correct?
It's a hateful word, Phil, from the standpoint that it is gender-specific. And the average American female doesn't think of this, of course, because she is... The average American female is still sort of stuck in the 70s. She's still sort of working through her Erica Jong period, if you will, in terms of her sexual liberation. But out here on the West Coast, we're a little bit more hyperdrive, I think is a good way to say it. And while gender specificity in language and the gender specificity paradigm need, and Phil, we've got some wonderful people working with us for our transgender sexual reassignment. Hugh Jackman has come on board. He's a marvelous.
The guy that was in Van Helsing.
Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he? He's come on board. And I was kidding Courtney Cox, and I said to her, "My God, if you would donate your time." And she got the joke. What we're trying to do is tell women, we can have this. We can do this. We can have male genitalia and remain women. It's the thing...
You really think this is the last wall?
It's the last wall that comes down, yes.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Rebecca. Rebecca, you're on The Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I'd like to just say that there's a very big difference between sex and gender, and by giving women male genitalia does not empower them. What empowers them is changing a social construct of what a woman or female is.
Well, and the only way really to do that, Rebecca, and we're doing some exciting work out here on the West Coast in that regard, is to get her mindset sort of reprogrammed. The way to do that for women, it is profound, I agree, and it's revolutionary. I was talking with Barbara Eden, whom God knows she's been around a long time in this town. She said, my God, if this can happen, if, and she was saying, she was using the I in the personal, if I can really have male sex organs. And Barbara's up there in age now. And
are you kidding me? I mean, she's a beautiful woman.
We're not talking about... Rebecca, we're not talking about being less than women. No, no, no. You're missing my point. I'm talking about getting a physical equal footing with men.
Well, there are quite few women out there that I know of that are physically better at doing sports and athletes and stuff like that, not only mentally, physically.
Yeah.
The thing, the question is, or really the concern is that gender is a social construct. By giving me male genitalia, by giving women male genitalia, we are not changing anything but the physical concept of what we are as women, or whatever word you want to call us.
But the psychosomatic...
We're going to be ostracized.
Yes.
Society will put us down. Where the
but
change
the
needs to occur
and
society.
But the psycho-cybernetic reality is once you change the physical, the mental will follow. And this is certainly is seen with plastic surgery. When one changes physically, one enhances one's psychic dynamics so that one can be...
All right, I got it. So what you're saying is basically the body, the mind will follow.
The mind will follow. And I'm saying to Rebecca, this is an exciting time. Rebecca, how old are you, dear?
I'm 22.
Do you realize you could have a penis by the time you're...
Can we not use that word maybe...
I'm sorry, but I'm just saying, by the time you're 30, you could be standing at a urinal like any man. And I'm saying...
I don't want to stand when I have to use the bathroom.
This will give us
not what's going to give me power. What's going to give me power is by changing the way the society thinks. What's going to give me power is making equal the pay women get to men.
Right.
They do the same job.
Thank
not
you, Rebecca.
Not by giving me a penis.
Thank you very much. Very good points. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Gail. Hello, Gail. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray from Project Aware.
Hi.
Hello, how are you? Yes, I can hear you. How are you?
Okay, listen, Margaret, I'm real sorry. I just think that wanting to be a man is silly. A woman.
No, you're missing it. No, we don't want to be men.
I've been listening to you for a long time.
We don't want to be men. No, you're misstating my point.
Women are wonderful.
And I will not allow you to misstate my point.
Why
didn't say become a man?
Something else.
I said to
him. You're going to just talk over me? Why did you want me to call in?
Because you misstated my point.
I listened to you.
All right, hold on, Gail, hold on. You did misstate her point. She didn't say she wants to make women men.
No, I said... No.
Hold on, Gail, or I'm going to hang up on you.
I'll listen. Sorry.
Now, see, that's the kind of power I'd like to see women exhibit. That man had to put you in your place, and I feel bad for you, Gail. And
I don't need to be put in my place.
I think you need to apologize to her.
For what?
Or I'll hang up on you.
No, I just...
No, he's the
host. No, you were treated rudely.
All right, look at Gail, hold on. You'll be first out of the gate here. I got to take a break.
Are you going to apologize?
No, yes, Gail, I'm sorry if I was rude, okay?
You know, you'd be... Oh, God.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. To have full equality with men, do women have to have some kind of gender reassignment surgery? That is, male sex organs. And do we need to get rid of the word woman? It is gender specific, after all. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Going straight to the hot place. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And we are back with Margaret Gray from Project Aware. Let me get Gail back on the phone here. Gail?
Oh, hi.
Hi, dear. I want to apologize if I preempted you in a rude or an abrupt way.
Yes.
I didn't mean to do that.
You're cool.
No, I want to say to Gail, Phil, I asked Phil to apologize to you because as
Why?
Women, because we are not things out of the rear end of a dog to be stepped on and stuck to the bottom of a shoe.
It's not because I'm a woman he spoke those words. He's the host. He has a right.
No, it's because you're a woman.
No, well, that's not true.
That's
not true.
No, it is his traditional role as a man to talk down sternly to a female.
It is not, and I'm not.
Look, can I interrupt here? I am truly apologizing if I was abrupt or rude with you.
You weren't.
And Gail, I think you finally need to reach down under your skirt and feel some power. And the reason why I say this...
Oh, come on.
Hey, listen, a woman is empowered. Oh, I think it's great being a woman. But don't tell me I need to add something to that. And I like men to be men. I don't want to have to be part woman, part man.
Well,
I think it's a great mix in this world.
But you're still stuck. You're stuck. You're using the word woman. You know that's gender specific and offensive.
I don't care. I like the word.
It's offensive.
You alone.
It's offensive to me and to other women.
Okay, I won't use the word again just so I won't offend you, but it's fine word.
Are you from the Bay Area?
Yeah.
I thank you. There's a great many people of great sensitivity up there.
Well,
a great many people.
Believe me, if Margaret's paying you a compliment, it's not necessarily good.
Well,
I've read some of
what does that mean?
I've read some of your works. Just because you say that you've got Rhea Perlman on board.
Rhea Perlman is one of the biggest gender reassignment advocates in Hollywood, for sure, and maybe in the United States. And I think...
Are you trying to tell me that the wife of Danny DeVito wants to have male sex organs?
I think before she dies, any woman, any enlightened woman would like to know what it's like.
Oh, baloney. Hey,
Is this the extent of your debate? Oh, baloney? Oh, my God.
It's baloney, because I'll tell you, I'm happy the way I am. I don't need something else. I'm
Gail,
as complete as I am.
Gail, you've been breeding in captivity for a long time.
I haven't been breeding like an animal.
With the host
you
male.
Earlier, that we're like animals if we don't understand that we need this or want it.
Can I ask you what you do for a living?
Sure, I'm a professional entrepreneur.
Well, darling, there's no such thing as an unprofessional entrepreneur.
Okay, let me tell you this. Since the time I was 9 years old,
yes,
I have been a strong woman. I've been an athlete. I've been a businesswoman. I've owned companies. I have many things going for me. Yes, I had to fight a little bit through the 70s because I was I was an accountant then. I was a controller. I had to fight.
Yes.
But, you know, the women's lib thing helped, and I got through that. But I don't need what you're advocating.
You just tipped me off as to the women's lib thing that you call it. Do you know that many women have Barbara Streisand, Renee Zellweger, and...
Can we stop dropping all these names? Yeah, you're dropping...
I'm not here to talk for you. Talk for yourself.
Well, I'm telling you, all right, the men that are on board. I mentioned Hugh Jackman.
No, I don't need to hear about anybody else being on board. I can tell you about it.
Andy Garcia is very much behind this effort to have women have male genitalia by 2010. But let me say this.
Listen.
I am a woban, and the reason why I say woban is because we are woven with God. We ban the use of the word man. We are woban. We are no longer
women. We are not
women.
Defined by what we're called.
We are woban.
We are who we are by the character
woban.
We have and by what we can accomplish. We're
you
not
know, you and the host, you
label.
And the host think this is really funny. But
I'm
Gail, I'll tell you, I just want to say one thing. It would have been a lot easier for you were you standing side by side at a urinal with a man talking business when you were coming up.
Oh, come on. Are you trying to tell me that all the big business deals are made in a can? I thought they were made on the golf course.
I did a lot of them on the golf course. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
No woman can get ahead unless she's played urinal football. Now, one of the things that I...
Oh, come on.
I don't want to play football. I love being a woman. I promise I wouldn't say that.
Right.
I love
Gail,
being
thank
that.
You. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Let's move on here to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, go ahead. You're on with Margaret Gray.
First of all, woman, does it not sound ridiculous to you? Okay.
I think it sounds ridiculous when we're saying we want to be gender neutral and we're saying woman. That is the most gender-specific word in the world.
You
if we want spokespeople and we want chair people, what is with woman?
You obviously are not considering the biblical aspect of the word, first of all, and
this transcends religion. This is reality. This is the political reality.
Okay, the reality of this issue is that it's very sad that you are so insecure and feel so inferior that you feel the need to have male genitalia just to feel equal. That's really sad. I feel sorry for you.
Every enlightened woman needs it. Women that are not enlightened
don't
recognize
the
paradigm.
What do you need it for?
It transcends the psychology. It begins to push us through the envelope of the psychic barrier and enables us to cohabitate intellectually with men.
Okay,
right now,
why don't you
Elizabeth,
think about...
You can say you're equal. But as long as you're walking around in those
why
big
don't you
high
think
heels
about this?
And you've got a swamp behind a tree, you're never going to be anything higher up than a baboon in some kind of a swinging monkey from a tree.
Maybe
I'm saying, let's give us equality.
Go ahead.
Okay,
go
well,
ahead,
maybe
Elizabeth.
You should really think about the spiritual aspect of life in general versus the physical.
God,
don't be so caught up about
bore.
Your spirit first before your physical. Don't you know
don't
that?
Don't be boring, darling. Please don't be boring. I'm trying.
It's not about being boring. Don't you understand that you are a spirit regardless of what genitalia you have? You should know that by now.
Do you know the power of slipping on a jockstrap? No.
You know what? This has to be
joking. You know something? I'm offended by your laughter because we are working very hard on behalf of the unenlightened woman of America, represented, I must say, Elizabeth, sadly so, by you right now, and we're trying to give them a fighting chance.
Well, when you say, do you know the power of slipping on a jockstrap, it is funny.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, do you hear how she boosts you up? That's a female response.
Okay, you know what?
That's a female
you have
response.
Some serious
Let me laugh
insecurity.
At the man's
you have
joke.
Some issues. You need to deal with those first before you start.
Man
you
tells
know.
Joke, woman must laugh. And Elizabeth,
whatever.
She fell into
you
a role
what?
Very well.
You need to go into yourself, deal with your personal issues before you have all these people, you know, trotting behind you on some kind of ridiculous high horse and ridiculous
Let me tell you about
it's
a woman.
Not something
let
to fight
me tell
for.
You about a beautiful woman that I knew once, Agnes Moorehead, who lay on her deathbed and said to me, "Margaret, get me a please."
All right.
You're ridiculous.
You know
this
something.
Is nothing to fight for. You need to put your energy into figuring
Elizabeth,
out your own issues. That's what you need to talk about.
Elizabeth, thank
Seriously.
You for your call. 1-800-449-8686. We'll go to another phone call, but
Cameron Manheim has said.
Can we get off of all of the actors that are involved? She lay on her deathbed.
You know something, Phil? The young lady that was just on is indicative of all the young women of America. They know their place. They know their role. Man tells joke, woman giggles a joke. And so...
No, Margaret. I did not tell the joke. You're the one who said, do you know the power of slipping on a jockstrap?
But she laughed when you repeated it. Not when I said it, when you repeated it.
No, she laughed when you said it.
Mockingly. But when she laughed at you... She was laughing as if to say, oh, you're wonderful, you're a man, and you've made it all so wonderful. I got to tell you, I'm depressed about it, but we do have hope. We have hope so long as we've got wonderful people like Drew Barrymore.
Will you knock it off already with every name you're dropping?
So I'm not allowed to mention our contributors.
If you want to mention your contributors, that's fine.
All right, I mentioned Hugh Jackman, Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, Alison Krauss, Brad Paisley, and Lucy Liu.
Tim McGraw, huh?
Yeah, Tim McGraw.
Donating to a cause to get all the women to have,
Yeah. Barbara Walters has called. I mean, I can go on.
Yeah. We'll be coming right back on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You're a front lawn with legs.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Let me go to Loretta. Hi, Loretta. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Loretta?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. You're on the air. Go ahead, dear.
Yes. I'm going to make a comment, dear. I am 47 years old.
Yeah.
I have worked in GM for 29 and a half years. I'm an electrician,
yes.
Meaning that I wear men gear every day. I wear the man stuff. You know what you're talking about? I have to put it on every day. And you know I can't wait to go somewhere and put on the feminine stuff to feel like a woman. I say, God made me what I am. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. You got to be comfortable in your own skin, dear.
Well, it is true, Loretta, but it's also true that we've been able to transcend the essential creation of God and cure diseases, for instance. And I'm simply saying that being a woman is a disease that we can cure and become full partners, full people.
It's a disease?
Being female is a disease?
Yes.
Is that a disease?
Of course it is. Look at how you've been treated. And you, if I may say, are you African-American?
Beg your pardon?
Are you African-American as well, dear?
Yes, I am.
All right. As an African-American female, you have been treated worse than any of us. And I think, Loretta, when the day comes that you and I can stand side by side at a urinal saying...
Oh, come on!
Dear, I go, look, I'm in men's bathrooms all the time. I got to go in there and power it up. You know, I go in the bathroom, I say, women coming in. I don't say man. I say, women coming in bathroom. Meaning, get your ass out or either stand there. They can put me down. Don't face me. I don't feel inferior to have to pull it out and go, you know, because we own sex, baby. Men don't own it. We the one who tell them when they can have an AK.
Oh, so it doesn't matter.
You know the power that a woman has? We're the one who has, I mean, I say a woman's more inferior than men because we need each other.
Well, men have asked us to believe that, yes, but I say the power of sliding on a pair of tight briefs and looking at yourself.
Oh, come on, will you? I mean, the lady just made a very good case, a strong case, for women and the power they had.
Look, Loretta, I had lunch with Jennifer Aniston and Rebecca Ramon and Joan Collins. You know what? They simply said, they grabbed themselves and said,
yeah.
I think...
No, they didn't.
You're giving me bad examples, and you're talking about Hollywood. We already know what Hollywood represents. If that's all you can give me, because see, real women are women like myself, who are here working every day, who are taking care of themselves, who ain't looking for a man to take care of me. I'm looking for a good man so we can put something together. I ain't looking for one to take care of, and I ain't looking for one to take care of me. But like I said, I'm comfortable in my own body. I don't need to have a man complete me. I am complete by myself. But if I find someone that I can be with, then we can share together. It ain't about me trying to be equal. Women ain't got no business being equal. God didn't mean for us to be equal.
That's
if
fantastic.
We were equal, then why don't men have children?
That's
do
great.
Do you know
Loretta.
How bad the population would be if a man gave birth? Give
Loretta,
me a break,
that's
man.
Fantastic, Loretta. Margaret, your response, Margaret.
Loretta, you're very passionate, and we need females like you in our movement. But I just want to say one thing. A very, very wonderful woman by the name of Coco Chanel lay on her deathbed. She invented, as you know, the perfume. And Coco said to me, do you know how empowering it would be to stagger out of a car the same way a man does on a Friday night, drunk as a skunk, and be able to go ahead and write your name in the dirt? And I said, Coco,
you know what?
And then she died.
You have Peter's Island. That's what you have. You the one who envy a man's penis. I don't. You know what I'm saying?
Well, B. Arthur doesn't agree with you.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah, hey, Loretta. Yeah, Loretta, so far what we've had here, B. Arthur, Coco Chanel,
yes.
Barbara Streisand, Meg
yes.
Ryan, Andy Garcia, and Tim McGraw all support your big cause.
Yes.
Loretta, darling, you are a strong...
I'm not impressed, dear.
You're strong. We need you so badly.
These people don't mean nothing to me because, like I told you, the real women are the one that you're talking to. I am a real one. I'm not saying they're not real women, but they're Hollywood. And Hollywood will do anything.
All right. If you don't think they don't mean to you, then what about Star Jones? She's on board.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, give me a break. I bet you if I talk to Star Jones, she called you a liar. Give me a break. You probably misinterpreted what Miss Star Jones
Wait
is.
A second. Star Jones said to me, whatever it is you're doing, I'm all in favor of it. She was very drunk, but in Meryl Streep...
Get rid of her. Thank you very much,
very
Loretta.
Drunk.
She's nuts.
Yes, she
yeah,
is.
All right, listen, Loretta, thank you for your call and your hard work on behalf of all of us here in America there in Detroit.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. What?
Oh, said Detroit, so you're down with the people and the homies.
I said Detroit, that's how I say it, Detroit. It's Detroit.
Well, Kim Cattrall doesn't agree with you. She's...
I got to say, though, it's very impressive that Coco Chanel wanted one on her deathbed, and Agnes Moorehead. You dig that? Coco Chanel on her deathbed said, Margaret, one of these days I want to stagger out of a car dead drunk and write my name in the sand the same way a guy does. Well, there you go, folks. That is what we call a look at, I suppose gender politics run amok. A look at a woman who is so full of herself that she thinks she can actually become a man. That's as dumb as a man thinking he can be a woman.
Oh, will you shut up?
Sorry. 1-800-449-8686. What?
I said to shut up.
1-800-449-8686. I guess you got the surgery, huh?
Yep. Just came out.
That's great. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Very well. You will kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, coming up on the show tonight, we're going to define some words for you. I think you're going to really enjoy it. I'm going to define a word called, the word is narcissism. You guys ever heard this word? And I'm sure you've heard the word. Well, I guess what I should say is, do you know what it means? Because we're dealing with a lot of it in the country right now. Narcissism. It means me. It's all about me. That's what basically a narcissist is. Someone who has no empathy for others. He is only interested in his own or her own self-aggrandizement, self-promotion. They are only aware of their own needs. They have no... It's actually a psychological condition. There is a, it's a syndrome, and you can be treated for it. And Janice said something to me last week, and she's right. She said, look, man, you get really pissed lately about Michael Moore. I said, you're right. I said, I finally figured out something this past weekend. I said, what am I responding to his propaganda for? It doesn't, none of it makes any sense. His movie doesn't make any sense. The things he says make no sense. They can be defeated in a sensible debate. Six ways. I could, if Michael Moore was sitting here right now and tried to lay his stuff on me, I would tear him, I'd tear him to shreds. That's why he doesn't give any real interviews, any live interviews. That's why he won't allow himself to be ambushed by the same kind of journalistic tactic that he uses, right? I mean, the guy is like, I finally realized, what am I worrying about his arguments for? He knows he's full of crap. He's a narcissist. A narcissist is somebody who simply wants to promote themselves. It's about him. There's a couple of tip-offs. First of all, have you ever been in a relationship with someone that makes you nuts? You can't say the right thing because she's always got, or he always has a response, and it doesn't make any sense, and you find yourself back at the beginning of the conversation. These are really narcissistic people, man. They just want to be right. Moore's like that. You catch him in five different lines of horse dung, and he just kind of circles it all back to the same stale take on Bush. The other thing is, every time he mentions this movie, it's my movie. My movie. I'm Michael Moore. Me. I mean, in the profession, it is not uncommon for people to say our movie. I often refer to this show as our show. I rarely do I ever say my show, because I know it's a combined effort. So anyway, I'm going to hopefully educate you as to what's really going on behind the probably the entire anti-Iraq war movement. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.